Selves Outdoor Modern Art Museum at Portland Courthouse Square. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. Not a current member? You can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Institute for Anarchist Studies 20th Anniversary Celebration on Friday, September 9th at Audio Cinema in Portland. The Institute for Anarchist Studies is an organization that gives grants to radical writers, publishes the journal Perspectives on Anarchist Theory, and engages in educational activities. This event features Portland DJs Katie Pants and Nathan Carson and a performance by Mike Crenshaw. Again, that's the Institute for Anarchist Studies 20th Anniversary Celebration, Friday, September 9th, starting at 8 p.m. at Audio Cinema, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland. For more information, go to kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Welcome to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. On today's show, The Gun Show by E.M. Lewis and directed by Sean Lee at Coho Productions takes aim at America's most dangerous pastime and jumps into the middle of the gun control debate asking, can we have a conversation about this? How important are Second Amendment rights, the right to bear arms in America? For many, both sides of the debate are very personal and quite dynamic. Stay with us for Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon. Joining me in the studio today at KBOO are Vin Chambry and E.M. Lewis of The Gun Show, which is being produced at Coho Productions. Vin Chambry is voted Best Actor by Willamette Weekly, the co-producer and performer of The Gun Show, and E.M. Lewis is the award-winning playwright and co-performer of this fascinating work, which has been produced in several cities since its world premiere in July of 2014. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
So, Ellen, what prompted you to write this play?
I tend to write about things that are complicated, a lot of social issues and historical issues, and it feels like today nothing is more complicated than the presence of guns in American society.
Right.
I have personal connections to guns as well. I grew up in rural Oregon. I'm an Oregon farm girl.
Nice.
And guns were a very normal part of everyday life. They weren't an extraordinary part, mm-hmm. but, you know, everybody had a few shotguns leaning up against the back door on the small farms that dot.
I'm a country boy, too.
Okay. So that was the reality. But as I've moved into the world, my relationship with guns has grown a little bit more complicated. So.
Right. And what's significant about this play is that it's written to be performed with the playwright. Could you tell us more about that? You're actually in the show, right?
Yes, crazy notion.
Crazy, what were you thinking?
That's what I thought the first time we did it.
Who wants to be here?
I'm way too close to the play. This is a public story and a private story, a story about guns in America and a story about my own personal experiences with guns in America. And as I was writing it, it felt like it had a personal voice, but also both a masculine and a feminine relationship with guns. And it was trying to look at both sides, really, of this gun control debate, trying to really step into the shoes of people who want to make sure that their gun rights are protected, but mm-hmm. equally step into the shoes of people who are afraid of
right.
guns' presence in our... So somehow a male actor performing the piece and me being in the room with the piece and us both wrestling with this story.
So it
made
is written
sense.
For a male actor to perform it.
It is.
Okay, so this play premiered in 2014, but the conversation is definitely not a new topic. The Clackamas Mall shooting here in Portland area, Orlando shooting, and even the shooting of illegally armed Philando Castile are just a few examples of incidents that stir up conversations about you know, the NRA's defense of the right to carry and the government's role in regulation versus deregulation. Vin, does this work have a personal effect on you in relation to your interpretation of the work?
Absolutely, yes. I think having the beautiful challenge of working with Ellen side to side, telling her truth on stage, not only being an African-American male in the United States, going through the world through my eyes, I get to learn, listen, and embody a woman. And that is something that I am every day learning. And yes, it affects me every day knowing that I feel like a target. I think about death all the time. I'm not afraid. I think I'm to the point where I understand that it could be a possibility in my existence, and I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. But since I'm here, I'm gonna do art, and I get to tell the truth through her beautiful work. And yeah, it's a fun, exciting, amazing thing we get to do.
Must be. Amen to that. I personally have totally understand where you're coming from with that. And being an actor myself, a lot of times, most people think we're just pretending to be something, or like, well, you're just acting. It's like, no, I imagine it becomes personal. Yeah. I'm processing work like this. Yeah. You are listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today are Vin Chambry and E.M. Lewis with The Gun Show, directed by Sean Lee at Coho Productions. So what else can we talk about? Can you tell us about the production elements of the show?
Yes.
What's the experience?
I'll tell you this. Sean Lee is an amazing, amazing, amazing actor's director. He's the kind of person. He told me about E.M. Lewis's Ellen script about a year ago. And he was like, just check it out, you know, just read it. Let me know what you think. At the time, you know, I'm doing a show and I'm like, okay, I'll read it. We'll see. And so that night, I opened the first page and it starts off with something happened 13 years ago. And then it goes to, you remember that great scene in Reservoir Dogs? And I immediately was like, okay, I'm down with this. This is exactly... and I was hooked. I was hooked. I read it twice in one night, and I was like, I would love to take on this exciting leading with vulnerability. Someone, who is a woman, and I'm a male, and I get to understand her perspective, but not only bring myself. And I think that is the exciting challenge in not only seeing her, I have nothing else to do but tell the truth on stage because she's there. And right. I think any artist would love that challenge.
I never really thought about that. I was doing some research and checking out your Facebook page, and I noticed that you have quite a few videos posted on your page. Most of them were actors, performers, friends, producers, anyone working on the show. Can you tell us more about those videos and what those mean for you?
Yes, absolutely. Well, they're on, please like our Gun Show Facebook page, The Gun Show. We have started to open the world up to letting people know that we all have stories. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's directly, it could be your grandfather, your uncle, your cousin that has happened to you in your life. And if you feel open to share your stories, do. And people have done it. Right. And it's been quite, yeah, up and down. And yeah.
There's a, the foundation of the play is 5 personal stories. Nice. That I've had with guns. And after every single performance of The Gun Show, we are going to be having a moderated conversation with the audience. And part of that is going to be eliciting people's gun stories, because one thing that I've found since writing this is everybody has a story about guns.
Don't they?
Everybody. And the ability to share our own personal experiences with guns, but also, more importantly, to listen to each other's stories and start to understand that that basic tenet of theater is stepping into someone else's shoes. If we can do that more right. on this really hot subject where everybody is closing their ears and shouting.
I feel a little embarrassed because I secretly knew we were going to be interviewing you, and I was auditioning at ART for a thing, and you were having an event there, and I said, what are you guys doing? And you had a display of guns, and I believe mm-hmm. there was a sign that said, have you ever held a gun before? And I'm embarrassed to say I have definitely held a gun before, mixed military. Mm-hmm. And I saw the sign and I backed off, and I think I did because I have my own opinion about the right to bear arms, and I tend to be a little outnumbered at times, and it's good to hear you say that everyone has a different story. What did you have similar reactions from other people? Could you tell us more about the display you had at ART?
Absolutely. It was fascinating because we had one lady go over there, and she was talking to the fellow who was working the display, and he says, well, would you, she said, he asked her if she'd ever held a gun, and she said, nope. And he said, well, do you want to? And she said, nope.
I was actually standing there. She's like, no.
And she was firm. And also, they're all prop guns. Mm-hmm. None of them were actual. They were theater guns. Mm-hmm. But it was the impact, the power of what they did. And, you know, I'm the actor of the show, and I didn't touch those guns. I don't want anything to do with them.
Yeah.
And I also think the beauty of Ellen and myself were from Oregon. Mm-hmm. She's from rural Oregon. I'm from inner city Portland. And the guns that dealt with when I was a kid, it wasn't for fun.
Right.
We ran away from them. So
yeah.
I just think that now, being an adult, I get to dive in this work to see the other side. Yeah.
There's a Spalding Gray quality a little bit to the presentation of this work. And mm-hmm. so it's a man sitting in a chair in front of a desk telling a story. So there's that kind of simple and very immediate talking to the audience presentation. But you were asking before about production elements. We have a tremendous team. And mm-hmm. so the visuals and the audio and, even costumes, everything has been carefully crafted by our director and our team.
Right. I don't know if a lot of people are aware, but I always see the most fascinating things at Coho.
They're great.
You know, when Coho is putting something on, you know you're getting, it's been thought of like, we want you to see this. This is going to be, and I've every time I've been, I've seen something that's just, you just can't even really describe it.
It's the perfect place to do this show.
Right?
It could not be better.
Yeah. And what is Coho's involvement? So you don't actually work for Coho, but how do they?
No, like, the beauty of Coho is basically you have, if you want a show that you want to do there, you present it to them, you present your crew, your team, who you want to be in it, and if they accept it, you know, you get accepted in their season and they decide where to put you in. Mm-hmm. But you have to bring your team and have everything together. And then they provide the space, the safe haven, you know, and they give us all the resources that you need to make the show strive.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we have a sample of music that was created by Rody Ortega, the sound designer for The Gun Show. Do you want to have a listen?
Absolutely.
We'll do that. All right. You are listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today are Vin Chambry and Ian Lewis with The Gun Show, directed by Sean Lee at Coho Productions. So there will be discussions at the Ever Performance called Gun Talks, correct? Mm-hmm. Could you tell us more about that, and what have been the audience reactions in other cities across the country with the you've traveled with the show? Like, are you crazy?
Yeah, I know, it's been wild. I've never had a play. This is my 12th full length play that I've written, and I've never had a play take off like this. But I think it's because the subject is on all of our minds. So we started in Chicago at 16th Street Theater, and Chicago, of course, is has a terrible challenge with gun violence right now. The play has been in Los Angeles, Trenton, this summer in Minneapolis, and New York City. I was in New York over the summer with it. Mm-hmm. And right now there's a production up in Bellingham, Washington, and just about to start in Fort Myers, Florida. So we're really...
Wow. It's pretty amazing. Yeah.
And might I say that this is a, it's not published, which means that it's a word of mouth that people hear this and they're like, we need to do this in another city. So I just want to stress the fact that it's the words of what she's written that people catch on, and we need to hear this story.
That's amazing. That brings up another question. So have you heard from any organizations like Black Lives Matter or any of any gun control nonprofits? Or, you know, there's a lot of activist groups that would definitely want to be involved in talk discussions or...
Absolutely. Well, we're trying to ride a fine line of inviting everyone and wanting everyone to be welcome at this table for conversation. Mm-hmm. People on the right, people on the left, people with strong opinions, people who don't feel like they can say their opinions because they're conflicted and in the middle, like a lot of us. Yeah,
right.
And so everybody is invited to this production. And that's what we've done in other cities too. Everybody's invited to be part of the conversation. And we are going to have some special guests at some of our performances. Mm-hmm. We're excited about.
Have you had any interesting experiences being in the audience with other audience members?
I was telling the guys that it's fascinating to be in the audience, being part of the audience with the actor and everything. I had a young man in Chicago who sat, you know, maybe 22, a kid, sit down beside me. And then when the actor came toward me, and all of a sudden this kid realized how close to the play he was, he leaned away from me and away and away.
It's like, I didn't come to be a part of this. Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I had, in another performance, I had a woman during the fifth story of the play, she reached over and took my hand. And so the play is that intimate. It's been astounding. And the stories that people have shared from their own experiences with guns have been extraordinary.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, my God. Yeah, Coho is definitely an intimate space. I think I've cried a couple times walking out of there with a lot of different the dynamic stories that happen, the different even with the dance productions that they have there. Mm-hmm. Where can we find ticket information?
The website is cohoproductions.org. And tickets are available now. We open
Friday.
Oh my goodness. We're very close.
Yep. It's going to be great.
We can't wait. I'm so glad to be working here in Oregon. I am from Oregon, and I was away for a long time. And now, actually, both of you are going to be in my shows.
That's
because
right.
I have Vin in the Gun Show. And then you, James Dixon, are going to be in my Loin Storm.
That's right.
We are doing Portland in Play, which is a set of short plays by Portland playwrights set in Portland. So I can't wait
for
that, too.
It's going to be fun. The play is great. I mean, I hate to go off topic, but I was like, wow, it's amazing what... So there's 10 plays, 10 playwrights, 10-minute plays, and it's just the whole in and out of it all. It's like, how much can you pack into 10 minutes? I just started reading it the other day.
We're going to have fun.
And that's October 17th and 18th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. Do you have any other projects coming up that you want to talk about?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, other than being a daddy, I have Civil War Christmas at Artists Repertoire Theater.
I wanted to be in that show so bad.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
I'm excited to sing, get back in musical theater. Yeah, and more things coming. I wrote a piece called Ignite, and it's about social injustice in the world. So look forward to that. VinChambry.com.
Let's segue on that a little bit more since we have some extra time. Honestly, personally, I love being an actor in Portland. I recognize the call for men of color on stage doing theater in Portland, in a place where we get a lot of work because there's a higher demand for us. Mm-hmm. And then there's always the topic of how do we keep our actors here? But I always pose the question, how do we cultivate the talent that we have here in town? There are plenty of people of color that can be working on stage doing this. Mm-hmm. I mean, this role can be played by anyone, mm-hmm. but I'm sure you definitely bring a certain element of your identity into this piece as well, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think that her writing gives me the license to do that. I think that when I approached it, I was like, well, I can actually be myself. I'm a storyteller first. Mm-hmm. And you get to approach it as a storyteller from Vin's perspective, doing Ellen's words. So what you just said, I mean, I think that cultivating men of color, people of color, we're here. We've always been here. Mm-hmm. And the goal is to understand that there are young people here that are listening to us. And I mean, I think that maybe it's taken me being a father to learn this, that people do listen to you and your words mean something. And mm-hmm. but also, like, do you have the same values, and you know, do you lead by that? And I just think that Portland is a beautiful place, and being from here and, you know, seeing the ever-changing Portland of hipsters and Keep Portland Weird. And we've always been weird. I mean, come on now. But, you know, it's my duty to stay here. And we can go to New York. I've been there, done that, you know. Right. But the thing is I have to stay here.
Right.
Because I know what it can produce, because it's produced me. And I am here, and I'm going to, yeah.
I have a similar story. I don't know how this all happened, but here we are, you know. And I found myself doing an amazing children's show this year. And I remember just being like, oh, I want to work here so bad. And I believe I saw a picture of you on the wall at a children's production. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I never realized how dynamic the work that we do when kids, not just kids of color, just any type of kids see us on stage, telling these stories, how I don't think most people realize what's happening to them when they're watching these shows. Their brains are literally exploding with imagination. And
well, I'll tell you this: Artist Repertory Theater. I'm a resident artist. I went to Grant High School. I was in detention. My teacher said, "You can either go to detention or a show." And I was like, I'm gonna go to a show.
I'm gonna go to a show.
So we got on the bus. And we went into Artist Rep, and it was this show called Ain't Misbehaving. And mm-hmm. I'm the kid with the backwards hat, saggy pants, and I'm like, I'm about to fall asleep. This is a free nap. This mm-hmm. is great. And lights come on. This black man in this pinstripe suit starts to sing. And I was like, what? This is incredible. And that was the moment for me that I looked at someone who could be me mm-hmm. in the future, and it just made me sit upright and understand what I could be. And here I am.
Right. Yeah. I think many people would classify this type of work as innovative. There's, you know, being an actor myself, I've done musicals, you know, when you do musicals in town, there's, you know, there's certain roles, there's certain types of plays that are being done, you know, everyone does Les Mis or this, that, and the other, and you're finally, this is something that's like, well, what if we thought about this? And would you say that's a new, that there's, that the more playwrights in this town are being called to do work like that, or you're just trying to fill the gap a bit more?
I hope we're called to do that. I mean, it's our job to ask the big questions.
Right.
And we have the unique opportunity to throw these big questions right up on stage and mm-hmm. embody them in the best actors in town, which I have. Oh. And to grapple together with what's happening in our society now. I think the playwright's imperative is immediate. Yeah. And one thing I wanted to mention too is we're taking the show to several high schools across the city of Portland. So Vin is going to, we're going back to your
we're
old
going
high,
to
school
Grant high school
as well.
What?
As,
no, it's great. Full turnaround.
Let's see, four others, five, yeah. four or five.
Do you know if there are there any teachers or faculty members that are still there? We're about the same age, so it is.
Oh, yeah. They're all, I mean, my teacher who took me to Artist Rep is still there. Oh. Yeah, so it's great. It's all, yeah.
That just
it's
makes fantastic. You want to cry.
We but I'll tell wait. You this too. What, I mean, like you said, the having her writing and all the daring playwrights here in Portland and Oregon all around, they lead with vulnerability. And I think that that's why you can get all the sides to listen. And in her show, that's what it's about, is it gives the conversation an open vast range for you to share your own, even if it's something that you don't want to share. Mm-hmm. It's an open place for you to do it.
And I think the same can be said for, in my opinion, a lot of conversations, intersectional conversations, doing social justice work. You always mm-hmm. find yourself in a room trying to talk. And I love that you call this a conversation, a dialogue, and not a debate.
Yeah, exactly.
I think a lot of people have a hard time just understanding that we are all dynamic people and that we all have a certain perspective, and we have to create a space where we can just have the room to speak freely and have the room to talk more about these complicated topics.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that's pretty great. So once again, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm James Dixon, and joining us today are Vin Chambry and Ian Lewis with The Gun Show, directed by Sean Lee. So, have we missed anything?
One more thing. Time to just say there's going to be a special art installation in the lobby of Coho. They have a beautiful lobby. You know their space.
Oh, yeah.
And Russell Foltz Smith has created original art, all kinds of different art for the lobby. And his installation is called This Is Not a Gun. And it's going to be there. And he's going to be there for opening weekend joining us. And so
that's awesome.
Lots of extra elements to this production.
So we already talked about ticketing information. I'll recap on them, where they can find that here in a bit. But do you have any pay what you will nights or any type of nights for that, or any?
I know that there is a student discount. I know that for sure.
They can probably find that on the website.
You can definitely find that on the website. Yeah, and there are actor discounts and
all that.
So let's get to that. So if you missed any of this interview, you can listen online later today at kboo.fm/stageandstudio. You can also get post events or get previews by joining our Facebook page. And, I think we're just about wrapping up for today. So once again, you're listening to Stage and Studio. We've been talking to performer and co-producer Vin Chambry and playwright E.M. Lewis with The Gun Show, directed by Sean Lee at Coho Productions. The Gun Show opens this Friday, September 9th. The air just got sucked out of the room. Like, we're there. And it runs through October 1st. For ticket information, visit their website at www.cohoproductions.com/onstage and then click on The Gun Show for more information. Thanks for joining us today. Break a leg.
Thank you so much, James.
All right.
Radio is a proud co-sponsor of The Other September 11th, Not Forgiven and Not Forgotten, a film screening on Sunday, September 11th at People's Food Co-op in Portland. In 1973, Chile experienced a coup by right-wing forces led by Augusto Pinochet. No forgiving, no forgetting is often painted on walls or written on protest signs in Chile.
This film screening includes three short documentaries that focus on the student movement, women's rights, and Indigenous land reclamation. The filmmaker will be present to facilitate a conversation about what we can learn from these movements. Again, that's the other September 11th, Not Forgiven and Not Forgotten, a film screening Sunday, September 11th at 7:30 at People's Food Co-op, 3029 Southeast 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Next, it's Art Focus with host Andre Middleton speaking with Sarah Turner, program coordinator at House Guest, and Libby Werbel, artist in residence at House Guest, a public art intervention at Pioneer Courthouse Square in downtown Portland.